Welcome to another episode of the Straight Fire Podcast with your hosts, Monique and Niles. How are you doing this evening, Monique?
Hello, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I am tired, and not tired in the sense sleepy tired, but just like, you know, that tired where you just need to unplug and like take a vacation. I'm that kind of tired right now, so.
Yeah, but, I feel you.
But these give me life, so I'm all for it, and I'm ready to go. Before we jump into the last episode from House of the Dragon, anything that you want to hit upon, Thrones news-wise, before we jump in this?
No. I have something?
Well, I guess we technically... until it's confirmed, can kind of, since it's more rumor mill, the whole Jon Snow thing that I had sent you. So there was a blurb online that I saw that the Jon Snow series is supposed to start filming soon, with the debut for December of 2024. Take that with what you will. It's it's like, can you see it taping at this particular time? Possibly, but the fact that it was just announced, you don't really know who the cast is, anything like that. I find it, and like you mentioned to me, until you get an actual release from HBO, kind of like, I'll believe it when I see it, type of thing. So, I get where you don't want to steer the fans down the wrong path, but just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, I think for like the past month now, it's just stuff's been going around. Like, people are putting together their little fantasy poster whatevers, you know, and that online, and you know, people will take them as truth. Unfortunately. Yeah. So, and you know, until I hear something from HBO, I don't believe it. Honestly, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. Good point. It's like, you gotta make sure it comes from a reliable source. So I hear you.
Yeah, and I would figure that HBO would put that out there.
Yeah.
That would be a big like boost.
Oh yeah, although you kind of wonder, it's like, once, because we're getting to the end of the season now for this first season, and it's like, do they have any like big things in store, or they'll just kind of like let it play out and kind of leave you kind of waiting for the next fix for season two? So it'll be interesting to see how they close up this season.
Yeah, right. If they close up storylines or make us wait. I hate when they make us wait.
All right, so I guess we could dive into this episode. First thing, like we always do, give our review scores. I'll allow you to go first this time around, just because I always jump out in front, but give respect to my co-hosts. How did you see this episode?
For me, solid 10 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a 10 out of 10 for me. And, you know, it was just, we're getting so much story. I know you want to see, like, more action, but I love getting the story. I love it. And, you know, we're seeing the king 6 years later, as opposed to 10 as I thought it was. But 6 years has not been kind to him, and we're seeing everybody kind of, that's an understatement, kind of come around him, and it's kind of like his opportunity to put things right.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think that was put across in the episode really well.
Yeah. You make a great point there. We'll expound upon it here in a sec. I would say for me, solid 9.5 out of 10. I really did enjoy it. Like, don't get me wrong. The 10 out of 10, the only thing that's kind of keeping me from that, and maybe it's just a quirk with me, but kind of leaving the like fate of Corlys kind of ambiguous. I was like, okay, you brought it up initially, and then it kind of wasn't really touched upon. That's the only thing I'm kind of like, eh, give me a little bit more of like, you say he's just a couple of days away. All this stuff is happening, and no follow-up to that. That's kind of what made me like, well, what the heck? But because it kind of would solve, not necessarily the question, but not necessarily solve a lot of things, but it would kind of put some things to rest. Like, so that there for me is my only real knock on it, but I did really enjoy, obviously, acting was very well done. Wasn't too heavy on like the fighting sequences, but it was more on the intrigue and like what the show is definitely come to be known for is like the kind of plotting, scheming things that you see on the back end. So that I really did appreciate. And just to your point, the King, this was one of his finest episodes, I really think. Just kind of we constantly clowned how weak he's looked throughout. This was at his weakest point physically, but you can argue maybe his strongest point from his stance as a king. So I did really, really appreciate that.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely. He's throughout, you know, this season, he's been kind of a weasel. I mean, that's just kind of what he has been. But yeah, this is the strongest he's ever been. You know, and with his voice as king. I just really enjoy this episode. And just the fact that I know that you're like angered, emotional about Corlys' fate being left unknown still. I was like, oh, thank goodness he's not dead for sure. It was like, for me, it was a sigh of relief because I was like, okay, the nail's not in the coffin. I'm happy about that. I did enjoy that we got to see his lady wife a lot more in this episode. Yeah.
And that's actually perfect what I wanted to kind of transition to, what we talked about last week is, were they in on what Rhaenyra and Daemon had basically set up there? Did they kind of know what was going on? And by all accounts, it doesn't look like it. Uh-huh. They truly do believe that, hey, something dirty happened with our son, and they're kind of in the dark. So it really just sets up a lot potentially moving forward. Like because you got to figure the son will like show his face. Maybe not at the end by the end of this season, but you aren't just gonna. Like, that's not going to be the last of them. So when that domino does play, where does that go? That's kind of intriguing for me.
Yeah, who knows? We may never see his face ever again. That could be it. He could have just dipped and that's it, man.
I don't think they would just – that's too big of a – I mean, granted, he wasn't like a huge, huge character on the show, but he was – a piece, and to just like kind of write him off like that would be kind of strange. At least for me, the way I look at it is the original show, for the most part, you could say every little like storyline and threads that they were out there, they made sure that's like, okay, you couldn't go into like conspiracy theory and say, what happened with this person? Da 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 da. It pretty much wrapped up everybody's stories. Mm-hmm. So, and granted, different writers, and they have their own vision of how things may play out, but I don't see them where they would just kind of be like, okay, we're going to just let this thread be out there and just be unknown forevermore. Kind of like, and sorry to get on a tangent, one of the guys from like The Walking Dead, he was this dude that obviously he wasn't a huge character, but he was like part of Rick's crew, and he said, oh, I'm going to go off somewhere and follow this. The guy never did show back up. This is like 5 or 6 seasons later, and the thread is still out there. People are like, where is Heath? That whole thing. And there's still conspiracy theories where he might finally show up. So
didn't he show up in another show?
So maybe
he had another gig.
So maybe they take a page out of that and a spinoff happens where he shows up on another Thrones show. I don't know if that would happen, but that's just something
that important.
Ouch.
I don't think he's that important. I think that was them, you know, wrapping up his story. Put him on a boat and send him out to his happy ending. You know, maybe that's the one and only happy ending we'll ever get from Mr. Martin.
Do you think he ever would come back to, like, kind of say, hey, this is my family's land. I'm the rightful heir after some time. Nothing like that would come from, or you don't see that that's his design on life.
I don't think that's his design on life.
Okay. Yeah. Understandable.
I mean, it's not exactly 2020, you know. It's I don't know if folks are so accepting of the lifestyle in Driftmark.
Touche. All right. So I guess we can do kind of like how we did before, just kind of go in order of like what's your favorite scene and all that there, just to kind of recap for the audience there. So you touched upon it earlier, there's a time jump there. And after said jump, you see the king's health is like, and excuse me, while not completely how I was foreseeing it, where he was like enfeebled to the point where nobody got to see him anymore, but he's in pretty bad shape when we do see him. And he's like kind of Alicent and her father have kind of like stepped up their game. And then the kids, Aemon more than Aegon, has kind of really taken the reins of like, you could see that this guy is bad news, kind of like I was saying last week. So what's your thoughts on where everyone is at now at this stage with the time jump once again?
Well, if we're looking at it from the start, I mean, we kind of start with where Corlys is, right? Where is he? There was fighting starting on the Stepstones, and so we know that he was in some business. I don't know. I did some rewinding, had to rewatch, had to put on the captions, still didn't really know what was going on. Not going to lie. All that I know is he's on his way home and he's got a fever.
And they said he was, and that's where I was mentioning earlier, they said he'll be there in 3 days. It's like, okay. Yeah. If they said he was going to be there in 3 days, it seemed like whatever was going on in King's Landing was longer than 3 days. So that's what kind of had me like, what's going on here?
Yeah. So he's been probably off fighting for these past couple years. Well, Rhaenys has been back at home raising one of Daemon's daughters.
Mm-hmm. And you see his brother, like, and we've got like little hints of it, like way back, honestly, when that when Daemon was with Corlys and they were fighting the Crabmen way back when, earlier in the season, where he wasn't too thrilled about the whole fight to begin with, and he's always seemed like he's been like pretty bitter and pissed off about things, and he wasn't too happy about just like what was going on, and just like the line of succession, and we'll get to what ends up happening to him later, but that was another thing that I was kind of like, this dude here has really been like kind of like, he didn't seem like he was going to be a big character initially, but he kind of like let his, for lack of a better term, like let his wings sprout at there for a little bit this episode.
Yeah, just ambitious second son trying to get what he thinks is, you know, rightfully his. Total jerk.
He did
get what he deserved after all. I mean, he did get what was coming to him. But he's really important to this episode because everybody came together in King's Landing because of him and the fact that he's petitioning Lysary's right to the Driftwood throne. And he's saying what everybody is whispering, you know, that they're not Valyrian children. And so he's really the one that sets off this whole chain of events, with everyone heading down over to King's Landing so that they can say their piece. And that's where we all, you know, run into mischief.
He used a little slightly more colorful words than that. But, yeah.
Yeah, that scene, let's just go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room.
Okay, we can definitely go there. So, and we'll kind of jumping to that point, the king is, like, for all, like we mentioned, for all intents and purposes, like, bedridden. And there's a big gathering in the throne room. Otto is there, and they're hearing, to Monique's point, petitions on who should be the rightful heir of Driftmark. And Rainey initially had kind of a, I don't know if you would call it a side deal. What would you say, an agreement to, like, wed her sons to, like, the Daemon's daughters?
I think she was, like, holding her cards close to her chest because Rhaenyra came to her with this idea, and she was very, like, indifferent, you know? But that she kind of swooped in at the 11th hour and was like, yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. And let's not speak of the weirdness.
For that.
And you know what? To take a step back, sorry, Monique, but to a meme that you, a joke that you sent me earlier in the week. Let's just get it out there. Is this Alabama, what we got going on with the Targaryen family? Like, the
family tree is like, it has branches, but they're all going in the wrong direction.
Yes, it is just wild, to say the least. Like, you got uncles marrying nieces, cousin on cousin, brother on sister. It is like, I'm at the point now, it's like, you know what? I can't, nothing will shock me at this stage. Like,
right?
Nothing is going to shock me. Whatever you tell me is going, is like, who's marrying who? It's like, yeah, I can see them doing that. So, my disgust bucket is overfilled with the what's going on with these relationships. So let's just, But I did.
That was it happens.
No, yeah. Oh God, I'm at a loss for words. But before we go on with the what was going on in the throne room, I did want to kind of. Did you notice the thing with Daemon and, like, the eggs? Like, what's going on with that? Like, because from my understanding, like, the like, this is going to kind of be like the last, like, little stretch of, like, dragons as far as I was aware, until obviously Dany's dragons show up. So yeah,
they start to die out, I mean, eventually. But I don't know, maybe he's collecting dragons eggs for just to be prepared.
Okay.
Also, his sons would have their own eggs as well. So I would think that, and also, you know, Rhaenyra being pregnant again, he's probably like, oh, gotta go get another egg.
It's
like going to the chicken coop at this point, you know.
So getting back to the meeting in the throne room, this is all being held without the king. He's at least initially, I should say, being held without the king, and they're hearing the various claims on Driftmark, and just as, like, a decision is being rendered down, the king makes what's probably, you have to, trust me, people, when we say you got to see it to believe it, it's like one of the great, like, little 2-3 minute like steps, like the slowest like walk to the throne. And then at that last state, that last with him getting on the throne, you see Damon, his brother, after everything they've been through, like help him like be seated on the throne. I thought was just the scene of the episode, if you ask me. That was like top notch.
Yeah, that was a heavy scene with, you know, like you say, they're about to like give this decision. Everyone knows which way it's going to go because they know that that's what the Hightowers are trying to do. Rhaenyra's desperate, you know, her children, they could all be facing death, obviously, if they're claiming that they're bastards. But then here comes the king. And he's bad shape, man. He's literally falling apart. And just like you said, you know, those couple of minutes where he's getting to the throne and he's taking his time and everybody's just watching him, and he stumbles and his brother comes and his crown falls and he picks it up for him and he places it back on his head. That was a huge moment, like, you know, after everything that had happened from the very first episode. You know, the very first episode is when they really fell out with each other. And it's been a really cold relationship up until now, with even the king still always trying to be cordial, trying to, you know, get his brother to come back to him, but Damon just being very standoffish and cold. So seeing that, like that scene, it was a moving scene. And when I say moving, I say I probably cried a little bit because that's what I do.
And then, I mean, and then after that, you have Vaemond, who, well, the king, let's kind of just play through this. The king makes his decision, states that Rhaenys' kids, they do have that rightful claim to Driftmark. Vaemond comes out and is pissed, and it's just like, you could run your house however you want, like ignoring what's like plain for everybody to see, but I'm telling you. You don't get to tell me how things get run where I'm from, and straight up calls the kids like bastards, like for everybody to hear. Like he doesn't sugarcoat it at all whatsoever, and is defying the king open. Damon is like, and no, before that, the king is like, I'll have your tongue.
Oh, he called
And
Rhaenyra a whore. He
yes.
called the heir to the throne a whore.
And then what may be just like the illest death you've seen this season so far, David somehow gets behind him and slices the dude's head half off, and it's like you could have his tongue, and you got to see it, but his tongue, like half after half of his head is gone, his tongue is just kind of there. So that was chef's kiss, great scene.
I mean, he slandered his woman's name. He called her a whore and he said, nope, slice. And that was it. Like, it was so clean, you know. But I was kind of surprised that the king only called for his tongue. I was very surprised by that. Because I was for sure when he was like going to stand up, I was like, oh, he's gonna call for his head. And no, he called for his tongue. But then here comes Damon, you know, given the justice we all
Now,
wanted.
what
I
I
like him more
found.
and more.
I told you the guy has a redemption arc. I was saying it a couple episodes ago. I was like, I could see a Jamie type redemption arc with him. So, but what kind of caught me that was interesting after the killing had happened is Otto like right away is like sees him like to Damon and like obviously like he like disarmed, but. It was weird that nobody else like questioned that order. Like unless I missed something, it was kind of like seize him. So that oh, so I wonder where that and he didn't get like locked in chains or anything like that. But it just I did notice that it was something I made note of.
Yeah, he speaks with the voice of the king, you know. So maybe that's something that he just can do.
Yeah, it kind of makes me wonder, you know, moving forward, like, where they, and we'll get to this in a second, like, where this could potentially lead, not so much Otto isn't fighting anyone, but you saw that brief, like, standoff between Aemon and Daemon, and it's like, uh-oh, I see a potential, like, fight on the battlefield right there between these two.
Oh yeah, for sure. Aemon, he's the warrior.
Yes.
You can see it in his eye.
Yes. And it's wild.
He's full of hate and like madness.
And seeing how they've developed him from the beginning where they were making fun of him, brought him the pig out, saying he'd never get a dragon of his own, to where he is now, where he's like, okay, this dude here is clearly going to be like a problem for the remainder of this season and definitely for the following season. So it's like, if that guy gets on the throne, remember how we were talking earlier, if Daemon ever gets on the throne, it's going to be like the worst thing coming. No, this guy, if he gets on the throne, you could clearly tell he's got a dragon. He's not afraid to use it. So watch out.
Yeah, he seems like the kind of person that he's just absolutely ruthless.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely ruthless. And seeing his brother is, he's such a sniveling, ugh.
His brother.
Awful.
His brother's an idiot. You can say his brother. Yeah. He's an idiot. He doesn't have those qualities in terms of like, he's a horrible guy, but not in the sense of sadistic horrible like how Joffrey was. He isn't like power hungry guy. He's just like the spoiled rich kid that's like, yep, I get to do what I want type of guy. But he isn't like a guy that's lusting for power, anything like that. He's just like,
he doesn't want it, you can tell.
Right. He just wants all the benefits like being in this position can offer, but he isn't like looking to like step up and be a leader or anything like that. You could clearly tell at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to be a king, I don't believe. He wants to have fun.
Yeah.
And the queen, this one of these times that you can pity her. Clearly not the first time she's gone through this little scene with a girl and her son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, he's done this many times before where he just rapes the girl. She's got to clean up the mess. She's already got the tea prepared. And he's just like, whatever, you know, we're just having fun. And clearly she's affected by it because how can that not be traumatizing? She's having to consistently, like, all the time clean up the mess of her son, who is supposed to be, like, her pride and joy. He's the king's firstborn son and, you know, whispers of, like, oh, he should be heir to the throne, yada, yada. But here he is. He's really a bad person, and I think she sees it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he's such a disappointment. And his wife's sister, poor girl, I think she's mad. I think she's just, you know, she got that side of the coin, of the Targaryen coin. She got the madness because her father's, because her grandparents are siblings. Well, so I think she got the crazies.
Well, the one thing I will say with her, though, and I don't know if you got to check out the thing I had sent on YouTube, a lot of her things that she'll say just kind of offhandedly that you might like that will say, oh, what is she talking about? It actually comes to pass. And that's like, oh, wow. I did not.
Right. Coming kind of like a prophecy.
Right. And it's like, oh, maybe I don't want to just like have her as like throwaway lines, actually try and listen to make sense of what she's, and hopefully try to make sense of what she's saying if not through this episode, like through future episodes to kind of piece it together.
Yeah, and I don't know much about her character. I don't really know her history, so I don't know if she's like known as a seer or anything like that. But yeah, it's interesting to see that, you know, those little things that she's saying are
Yeah,
happening.
exactly. It's like, oh, wow. And they don't give her that many lines, so it's kind of like, you gotta, to your point, maybe I need to start busting out the closed caption. It's like, okay, let me go to her scene and see exactly what did she say. It's like, all right.
Yep, I was like, what? Pause, rewind. What? Pause, rewind, closed caption. So now I
Oh,
learned, I just go right to the closed caption.
smart, very smart. Oh, shoot. Before we get to like the dinner scene, and where a bunch of stuff pops off there, too, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about, and we've talked about him already, Eamon, but kind of seeing how he and and his fight, I'm referring to the scene with him and Sir Criston, like sparring between one another, and you see how he looks at his nephews. This word to call them nephews, but I guess technically they are. And just seeing like they kind they the contempt he has on his face for them, and just kind of the fear they have in their face for him is like. I just want to get your thoughts on that a little bit more. It's just what you saw there.
Well, Luke and Jace, and I'm sorry, but those names couldn't be whiter. Luke and Jace are, I like them. I think Rhaenyra did such a good job with those boys and raising them compared to like Aegon and Aemond. But yeah, they're standing there and they look really uncomfortable. People are staring at them because they know what they are. They're old enough to know they know who their father was, and they know that other people whispered as well. So they're kind of like keep to themselves kind of kids. But here comes Uncle Cousin. I don't know. Is that right? Uncle Cousin? I don't know. He called him nephew. See,
Yeah,
it's
it's
hard
weird,
to work out.
exactly.
It's weird. And then he, you know, he approaches them. He's very menacing. Like, I don't know, like he made my skin crawl the way he like looked at them with that one eye just like piercing into your soul.
You said that one,
What is he gonna say? Eyes.
Well, yeah, technically you can't. He does have this, he's rocking the Popeye, just the one eye at you. But yeah, I just the dude freaks me out. I'll say it. It's like but you got to commend them on how they've developed. I didn't see this coming, and it's probably in the books how he eventually gets to this point. But it's like, damn. I caught me off guard. I was thinking he was going to be the meek kid, kind of like Tommen was, and kind of being manipulated. He definitely isn't going to be manipulated.
Yeah, he grew a pair and grew up, and he wasn't going to be bullied, apparently. And it took losing an eye for him to be able to stand up for himself. And he seems to be very well trained. I don't know if he's like a seasoned warrior, but he does look pretty scary with that sword.
Oh yeah, like he
But I'm
kicks
sure
Sir
he's
Criston's
just as
ass.
terrifying. Yeah, I'm sure he's just as terrifying on Dragonback.
Exactly. One last thing before we get to the dinner scene, and this is just a little thing I've noticed. But what the hell with all the swords up in the throne room? Now the OG series, correct me if I'm wrong, the original like Iron Throne didn't have that much going on in the throne room, did it?
For the television show, you're correct.
Yeah.
But as far as like the way the throne is written, the way it's described originally, it's it is more accurate to what we see in House of the Dragon than what we do in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
But I can also see, like, okay, maybe over time some of those were removed, you know, with the different kings coming in, maybe like things could be moved around, maybe like all those sections been moved, and that's kind of how they can explain it away to that, you know, they're not there anymore.
Because that's what was tripping me out. I was like, okay, they really got to pare this down, because by the time you saw Robert, all that wasn't in the throne room. So that's where I'm like, where does all this go?
Yeah, the Iron Throne is really actually described to be very, very terrifying as far as the swords. Just big and spiky.
Yeah,
it was very tame for the show.
Yeah, I would not want to be sitting on that. It's like, granted, all the power you may get for being king, but like, I'm good sitting on that chair. It's like, hey, give me the title. Okay, you could keep that chair.
Yeah, kings would always, you know, cut themselves on the chair.
Oh, but all right, we can get to the dinner scene now, and which I thought was a pretty good scene all around. You have yourself some, like, obviously the backbiting, and we'll get to that just in a sec. With Damon, I was about to say Damon being an ass, but Damon actually wasn't an ass at all. It was Aemon. Aemon was the asshole. And you saw, now, believe if you want, what it looked like Allison and Rhaenyra. And maybe I'm just looking at it pie in the sky, but trying to like bury the hatchet possibly, or just kind of saying what the king wanted to hear, do you think, and kind of like agreeing that, hey, we've been at this too long, being ignorant with one another, and just to kind of bury the hatchet. What do you think? Was there true intentions behind those words, or just you see them seeing their father slash husband kind of on his last legs, and they just want to make him feel well before he passed on?
I think it was truly intended to be sincere. The way Rhaenyra spoke and the things that she said, you know, she was thanking the queen for being there. You know, she saw really for the first time what Allison has been dealing with. Very loyally, very lovingly. She has not stepped out on the king that we know. You know, she's bore him children. She's been by his side. She's been an excellent queen. You know, she's done nothing bad. She's been nothing but good to him. And I think that Rhaenyra saw that, and she wanted her to know that how much she appreciated that. And that touched the queen. And I think that they were really on the road to reconciliation. Like, something good could have happened.
Okay. I agree. That was my thoughts, too, is that they actually kind of, like, finally were like, you know what? Enough of this. This fighting isn't getting us anywhere. We've lost one another as a friend. We've lost all this time. Our kids hate one another because of all this. And let's kind of just try to squash all this. And then the king leaves. And then we get the foolishness between the kids.
Freaking Aemon, dude.
I like how, well, what was the exact word he said? They had something to the effect of strong. I can't remember the exact line.
It's like they're very brave, they're very wise, they're very strong.
Exactly. And that just pops everyone off. And it's like, for a second there, you thought they were going to throw down in there. And it's like, obviously nothing happened. But it's like, this dude here, that we've definitely dubbed the new asshole, him. And one thing, not to get off track, we haven't seen our guy Middlefinger in a little while. I wonder what's going on with him in the background.
Yeah, it looks like he's gonna be back next episode, but I have to imagine he's probably enjoying being the new Lord of Harrenhal and overseeing all the work that needs to be done on it since he had it burnt down.
Good point.
He's probably busy.
Oh man. But we get to the scene. So after dinner's well, dinner has transpired, the king has some nice words, final words really, for the majority of his family there. Then the kids bicker and argue. Then we get to the king, and kind of, and this is, I forgot to mention this earlier. He basically has been getting drugged up. They say milk of the poppy, but for it's basically morphine, and he's high for the most part for a lot of this. And you just wonder. He says like the who should be King Aegon. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Rhaenyra is pregnant, and didn't she mention that her kid, she was gonna planning on naming her kid that she's pregnant with is Aegon, and
So
maybe
one of
it's.
them is already Aegon. I think it's first son with
With
Daemon.
Damon?
Yeah,
Oh,
that's
okay.
Aemond. And the baby is Viserys, but the one that
Yeah.
is unborn is not named.
Oh, okay. All right. So Allison hears this, and this is where what we were just talking about, where they were initially cordial, I think basically is going to get broken down. Allison is probably going to take this as one way of saying, when the king said Aegon, he meant like Aegon, his firstborn son, not Rhaenyra's kid. It clearly couldn't have meant, and that's where things are, like, for lack of a better word, all hell's going to break loose, really.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember that this prophecy, Aegon the Conqueror, so Aegon, first of his name, his prophecy was the prophecy of the Song of Ice and Fire, which we know as Game of Thrones. So this prophecy has been secret and it's only been passed down from king to king. So this is why Viserys told Rhaenyra. No one else was told about this. Alicent didn't know about this. Earlier on in the episode, we see Rhaenyra visits her father in the night asking, if he believes that prophecy to be true, and he didn't answer her. But it's the end of the episode where we see, Alicent is caring for him. She's on his bad side. He don't got an eye over there. He probably can't hear real good either. So he
No, you
probably just he assumed that he was speaking to Rhaenyra
exactly.
and
That's what I was going to say.
confirming, yes, I do believe this prophecy is true, not knowing that he was speaking to someone else. Alicent doesn't know anything of this prophecy. She doesn't know that he was speaking of Aegon, first of his name. So she took it to mean Aegon, her son. And so she's really going to push that. This is what he wanted. No, what he wanted was Rhaenyra to continue as heir and her son. So, yeah, because she had to get on the bad side.
And I think that's you're exactly right there with that, because I didn't even think about it from the standpoint of like that earlier visit. He could have, like, with being doped up and everything, he could have thought he was still having that same conversation, pretty much, and he was still having it with Rhaenyra, and is telling her like, "What's what?" So yeah, I definitely think that that's what's happened there, and that's probably gonna be like the definitely you'll have like the funeral for the king, everything that'll take place. Because spoilers, like next episode, my prediction finally is true. He's dead. Finally,
Well,
people,
yeah, I told you
he's
he was
dead.
gonna last two more episodes, and what? Two more episodes he lasted.
So The series will finally be dead. Not that I've actually turned a corner on him the past couple episodes from sympathizing with what's been going on with him and his family, and we see that in this episode with him just wanting to have a nice dinner with his family, and just like showing that strength that we mentioned earlier. So good job, Viserys. You definitely went out much better than how you were. Let's say that. But
yeah, he finally stood up for his family. Is what happened.
Exactly. But next episode, yeah, you'll see a dedication to him, and then basically full scale moving forward as to just like, all right, who's got the rightful claim of power and just everything that's happening there with that.
Yeah, and we only have two episodes left. Yeah. Not fair.
And unfortunately, the descriptions give us nothing, so we can't even draw off that. We just got to look at the next week clips and kind of try to parse stuff together with that. And this one, as much as I tried to do like conspiracy theorists, like I couldn't, like it was like really ambiguous this time around. I saw you did, like you mentioned, you do see like Middlefinger a little bit. You saw Otto talking to somebody. I couldn't make out who that was he was talking to. And he was saying, no one must ever know what you're doing. So it's like, what's going on with that? And then you see a little kid. Now, this little kid, nobody's seen before, but he's got a little kid with the white hair. Did you catch that?
I don't think so.
Okay, because, yeah, there was like a little kid. He looked like he wasn't like with common folk. He was just like a little, regular little kid, just like in town with like the white hair of like Targaryen or Valyrian. I was like, who was this? So I did notice that too.
Maybe another bastard?
That's exactly. It's like, who's this kid?
What? Maybe he's a Dragonfire. Is that, or wait, no, a Blackfire. Is that not the bastard name for Targaryens? I think it's a Blackfire, right?
Wow. I did not know that.
Come on, Niles. Do you not know the Westerosi bastard name?
Not that one. Okay. You said a black fire. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think, no, I think.
I'm not discrediting you. That just sounds hilarious. You're a black fire.
Because I know that there is actually in that history
terms
like
for each.
A famous, like, something Blackfire, who is a Targaryen bastard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Huh. So that's why I'm thinking, like, you know, if they're going to continue, you know, if they're continuing, we know we're getting a second season and it's moving forward, so perhaps we're going to get more of these Targaryens that have been mentioned throughout history.
And you know what? You know who else I saw was Daemon's, like, old chick, the one that he had so maybe that, you know what, I did not even think that, but now that actually kind of could make sense. If they're showing her, then they show this kid, then you know what, that's possible. That is certainly possible. Okay, now I definitely gotta look at it again to see if I swear I saw the kid, and then I think I saw her, so that is definitely something to look for next episode.
Yeah.
And then I can't really recall in terms of what else there was. Like I mentioned, Otto talking to the guy. And then the last a little phrase, and it could be just a throwaway line, but it was Rhaenyra saying, do you ever see yourself sitting on the Iron Throne? Like, who is she talking to when she's saying that? Like,
oh, I believe that was Rhaeny speaking to Elephant.
Oh, okay.
I think she feels that Elephant is ambitious, wants it for herself, perhaps.
Now, here, because I'm about to throw a conspiracy out at you. So, let's say, argument's sake, King is dead. There's this dispute over who should be the rightful king. And while that dispute's going on, they're like, it should be Aegon, but clearly he's not ready to rule. That they basically instill Alicent as the pseudo, like the queen until he's ready to rule. Could you see that happening? Like, is that where that line basically can stem from and leads to her being on the throne? Do you see that happening?
Like to rule in his place until he comes of age?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that happening, kind of like Cersei, like a queen regent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I could definitely see Alicent sitting on the throne, like kind of ruling for him until he comes of age, and Otto being like the one pulling the strings.
Yeah.
Obviously, mm-hmm. he would. I could see that.
The only thing I'm wondering, though, with the kids, though, is that just where they are with the time skips and everything, you got to figure that, because the weirdest thing to me, honestly, now is that Aemon looks older than Aegon to me. When I look at the two of them, it's like Aemon looks like he's at least 5 or 6 years older than Aegon. It's like, I don't know if they meant. Okay, because I was like
it kind of shows like Aegon has been living a soft life. Just kind of like living it up with girls and parties and just being a prince. And Aemon has been training, fighting, growing up, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think it was the scene in at the dinner table where they were like sitting around and like. Or Aegon kept messing with his nephews talking about the wedding, and like Aemon like stood up and was pissed, and you look and they kept cutting between them, and you see Aegon is like, well, this dude doesn't look nowhere near as old as this dude. Aemon looks like he can not quite be as old as like obviously Daemon and like everybody else, but it's like it looks like he fits more in line with them, to your point, like he's more mm-hmm. seasoned compared yeah. to Aegon.
And they're probably only meant to be like a year apart.
Yeah.
If mm-hmm. that. Yeah, and I really think it's meant to be like showing the differences in these two boys, who they are similar in age. They're both brothers, but they both lived very different lifestyles and just the things that they do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And one is a lot more mature. We see Aegon is just like, oh, it's just, we were just having fun. Party boy.
So what do you think, if you had to like predictions for next episode, what do you see? And it's kind of tough with what information we have now, but if you had to say, predict one thing, and obviously the king dying can't be it, but you had to predict one thing that takes place that for the next episode, what would you say?
I think that war will be declared.
Ooh.
It's the Dance of okay. Dragons.
So you think that they're not going to save it for like a final episode? You think they'll just...
I don't know if they're... like. I mean, there's going to be fighting for sure. But that's fighting's not like declaring war. I think they're gonna like
right.
declare full out war next episode.
Okay.
Like I think that's where yeah, we're just gonna get into it.
Okay. Let's see. I guess for me we find out what went down with Corlys. Gonna take a shot in the dark and say that.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly hear news of Corlys by that time.
Yeah, you would think that we would get some type of update.
Yeah, he's either dead or alive. 50-50, come on, let us know.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I want to know. Just like, let me know what's up with the dude. If he's dead,
my emotions.
Yeah, like if he's dead, okay, he's off the board. If he's not, then what becomes of, and he comes back and hears everything that's gone down since he's been gone. So,
yeah, I think he would be down with the arrangement of his daughters marrying Rhaenyra's sons. Because just like she said, one would be queen and the other would be Lady of Driftmark.
The only thing I think is that, what about the loss of his brother? Does that set him where he's
pissed off? He might turn on Daemon.
Yeah, and that's why
he may try and get his vengeance there.
That's where I was thinking more so. Is do you think that could potentially lead to where it stirs up trouble with Daemon and Rainey and just where they may want to go when they eventually in the original battle between them and Allison?
I don't know. I think they would still stick with Rhaenyra and Daemon on their side.
They basically say, "Hey, your brother was an asshole."
You know what? You never know. Corlys could not have liked his brother very much, like as a person. You know, sometimes you don't like your siblings. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying that. I love my siblings. But, you know, maybe he didn't like his brother and he just had to deal with him because it was his bro.
Fair point.
Never know. Because we do know, and it was said over and over again, that it was Corlys's desire that Lucerys be the heir to Driftmark.
Yeah.
That was his wish. Mm-hmm. And his brother was against it. So, you know, there could have been butting heads there already, like before, that we didn't see.
Yeah. I can see that that happening. Is like he could throw out the, while I mourn my brother, he was an ass or something like that.
He was asking for it.
Yeah. Huh. Okay. Oh, so I think that pretty much, unless you have anything that you want to hit upon on this episode that we haven't touched upon yet.
No, I think we hit everything.
We've
got it all out there.
All right. I'm really, really intrigued now just to, in terms of like moving forward, that now that I didn't brought up the kid with the white hair, mm-hmm. what's going on there, and just like I said, Daemon, I guess you could expand upon that a little bit. He's a bastard, so he wouldn't necessarily have any claim to anything, but like, where does that potentially lead if it does turn out that Daemon does have another kid out there somewhere? That kid would obviously have been born before any of Rhaenyra's kids. Well, not all of them, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, and the only one that can legitimize a bastard is a king or queen. So even if they did come around saying, oh, well, I should be king, you know, she could say, no, I won't legitimize you. So no, you have no claim.
Touche. And it isn't like Daemon would necessarily, it wasn't like he was that cool with her once he realized he couldn't like get any of there with her power-wise. Now, to that point, though, that was Daemon when he was a power-hungry, crazy man earlier in the season. He's definitely more scaled back. He's still ruthless as he chopped off Daemon's head, but he's not that same sadistic evil guy that we had come to know the first couple episodes of the season.
Mm-hmm. No, he's not. He's changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Growth, mm-hmm. Character growth.
Huh. See, now you got me thinking there the prophecy with the king. Oh, I gotta watch it again. We'll be at this all night. Now I gotta watch the episode again just to catch. So, basically the prophecy with the prince that was promised, it eventually comes to pass in Game of Thrones, right? And it's where, and when they're talking in the north, and it's, help me out here with it. It's not the whole shit with the Night King, though, right?
No, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what the prophecy is, A Song of Ice and Fire. That's what it is, of the Long Night.
Okay. Okay. So, well, that's strange that they'd be have been talking about it way back then, and shit didn't come to happen until when Danny and
well,
them showed up.
That was, I believe, the reason for Aegon, the first of his name, coming to Westeros from Valyria.
Oh, okay.
There was the prophecy, so he came with his sisters, and they, you know, they basically conquered Westeros, because at that point Westeros had 7 kings, and he came and he said, "I'm your king now."
Yeah,
he basically conquered Westeros. From that point on, he had passed on that prophecy, like each king passed it to the next.
And he basically was like, "Hey, make sure, like, keep the Targaryen, like,
they must be on the throne in order for this to, you know,
okay,
to be able to face it."
Okay, cool. All right, I get it. I definitely will make a point of it here. My vacation is coming up next week, actually, and where I'll get to dive into the books and actually get caught up from that side of things. So definitely looking forward to that.
Nice.
All right, then, Monique, it has been a great talk as usual, and you definitely have gotten me out of the little funk and weariness I was in. So thank you, my friend. I greatly appreciate that.
Always a pleasure.
And we will be back with a brand new episode next. Not everything House of the Dragon related. If there's any official news of anything Game of Thrones, we'll make sure to bring that to you. But for Monique, this is Niles. We are signing out, everyone. Enjoy.
Peace out.
Deuces.